O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal
What do you think inspired Isaac Watts to write that song? I don't have an answer for that, but does it inspire us to sing those words? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. That song was an inspiration that came to me as I was studying for this sermon. I've preached this sermon before, and rather than concluding with it, I thought I would open with it. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to look at the story of the that's found there, of Elisha and the Shunammite woman. Now, this is an account we've all heard before. Many of us have. I say that sort of loosely, but I would say that many of us have heard that story. That's one of the blessings of our background, but also one of the challenges as well, because it can just become another one of those stories in the Bible, and we begin to lose sight of the message that's in it. And I'd like to try to bring a message out of this account this morning. So Elisha was a prophet who was given responsibility after Elijah was taken up. And Elisha pressed after Elijah for a gift, for something. He wouldn't leave Elijah go, and he received the mantle, and we know the account of that. Elisha was a man who had a lot of responsibility, obviously. He was a prophet of God. He was on demand among the kings and the powers that be, and also going to the schools of the prophets and teaching and all that goes with that. He was a busy man. And if you'll notice here in verse 8 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." So that's where the account begins of the Shunammite. We call her the Shunammite woman because we don't have a name for her. One of the commentators said, "We know what was in the room, a bed, a stool, candles, but we don't know the name of the lady." The Shunammite woman. She was a woman of the town of, for the area of Shunem. And what I would like to try for us this morning, and for my own benefit this morning, is for us to, as we consider this story, it is to see the relationship of past saints with their Heavenly Father, and out of that receive courage for today. And to see that tradition of the past, to see the work of God and the interaction between God and Elisha. We're going to see some of that in Shunem, the woman of Shunem, and Elisha, and how the story ends. I'm going to go ahead and read on to verse 37, so follow along with me. We read verse 8, "And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set him there, a bed and a table, a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father's to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As long as the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was coming unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. And I want to end there for now. The story continues on. Elijah moves on in the account to other responsibilities. The story I read. We move through a period of time here, just a short account. How many years transpired here, I'm not exactly sure. But I'd just like to go through it and sort of in an expository way, just lift out some of the activities and look at some of the statements that were made and some of the things that weren't said, perhaps. As I already noted, we don't know the name of the lady of Shunem. But at first I would like to think about the story opens with the fact that Elisha was passing through the town. And for some reason it caught the attention of this lady. And I want to notice, first of all, that Elisha was a busy man. As I already mentioned, he was a man who was in high demand. He had a lot of places to go, and he traveled. He traveled. He walked. More than likely, that's what he did. He walked. He may have rode some, but more than likely, he walked. And he traveled through this town on his way to obligations, on his way to meetings, on his way to preach somewhere, on his way to do the work of a prophet. And so there he was. He was a servant to the people. And yet we're going to notice how, as a man of God, he had this buffer person, Gehazi, to stand between, the person who stood between Elisha and the people. And we're going to notice that as we go along. But as he come through town, he was met by this lady and asked to come in. And I want to notice, the next thing I want to notice about Elisha is that he seemed to be, regardless of his responsibility and his position, because as a prophet, he really could, you know, call the bears to come out of the woods. He had that kind of power. And yet, as this lady responded to what seems to be an evident need in his life, he was very appreciative of it. He was an appreciative and an humble man. As I read this account, we see that in Elisha. We see it here in verse 13. Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? And also you'll notice back up in verse 8 that she constrained him. And so it seems like she had to convince him to come in. She said, no, you must come. You must come. And it seems like he turned from his plan and came. And he was. I just take from that Elisha was a man of God who was appreciative of this, but he wasn't expecting it of people. And so he came in and he took what she had to offer. I want to think a little bit now, just moving to the Shunammite woman here for just a little bit. The first thing I notice about her is that she was perceptive. She saw a need. Why her? I don't know. But maybe I'll just say it now. If there's one thing that I'd like, and maybe I'll talk to this side of the house a little more, is the work and role and the perceptiveness of a woman that we just don't have over here. And we see this coming out here in the Shunammite woman. And in her, she saw a need and she responded to it. And I'd like this to be, and we're going to see this a couple different places through here, but the work and abilities of a woman and a woman of God here, I want to exalt that. And I want to also, I want it to be an encouragement and a challenge to you sisters to be those kinds of women today. And certainly we've been blessed with that in our churches and in our communities. But we see here that she saw a need. And there is a certain boldness that a woman has when she sees a need. She constrained him. She said, no, you will come. You will come. Provisions have been made. You will come. So she saw the need. She saw him traveling through town. I don't know if it was the first time she saw it, but it seems to me like it was maybe in the fifth or sixth time when she said, you know what? He keeps coming through town. I'm going to provide food for him. The next time he comes through, I'm going to flag him down. And that seems to be what happened. I'm maybe filling in some gaps. But she stepped out and she was perceptive to a need. The second thing that she was perceptive to that I see here is that she said in verse 9 to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. That's interesting. I thought she would have known who Prophet Elisha was. Doesn't say that. This is Elisha the prophet. But she said to her husband, I perceive that this is a man of God. It's interesting. Just a little tidbit. But maybe we can understand a little bit more that, do you know what? There was a lot of people. Didn't matter if they only lived 15 miles away, because Elisha didn't just walk 100 miles. I mean, Elisha wouldn't have walked to Tyrone to preach this morning. I mean, he may have come here through the course of He may have journeyed through here, but it wouldn't have been on the timetables that we're used to. At any rate, what I'm saying is there was probably many people who could have served Elisha. And here, out of the masses that moved through Shunem and on the road, the Shunammite woman, going back to her for a moment, saw this, perceived the need, and now she perceived that this is a man of God. And That's a wonderful perception, and it's one that, again, our sisters are blessed with. Women have a perception that at times men don't have. And we see her talking about this to her husband. That's a wonderful little tidbit, little insight into their home, into their relationship. And maybe husband wasn't as perceptive as he should have been. Doesn't have a whole lot to say about him. But we see her interaction with him, and I was blessed by that. She was perceptive to a man of God. I also see the Shunammite woman was a servant. She had a heart to serve this man. How many other homes did he pass? Don't know. Story doesn't tell us. But I'm going to assume, once again, that it was many. There was plenty of places that could have served him. And there was probably some little roadside diners where he could have ate. Now, I know diner brings up a picture of something more like 22 diner or something to us. But we're talking about a place where there was a little bit of food made alongside the road. I could take you to Bangladesh and show you plenty of little places like it. The point is, she was a servant and she saw a need and she had a heart to respond to it. She had a heart that was strong enough that she pursued this. And she constrained him, like I already said, and she brought him in. She had food there and for him to eat. She was prepared for, and she hosted this man. And it goes on a little further than that. As a servant, she was inspired to go further. And once again, she has some ideas for her husband. And she says that here in verse 10. She said, you know, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And so we see her giving an idea and pleading or encouraging her husband to come along with this. And it seems like he did. It seems like he said, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's do it. And so they did it. They just did it. And they got it done. And it was all in preparation for the next time he comes through town. And so it almost seems like he was there one day for a meal. And as he left, they have this conversation. She says, you know, this is a man of God. I perceive that it's a man of God. And we should do something more for him. Why don't we? And the idea was sprung. And the husband called the servants. And into it they went. And they built this little room. I don't know. They probably didn't need any permitting. But they just got it done. And they built it. They put in the little table. It's a very simple room. But probably very normal room. That's what their rooms were made up of. But there they did. They prepared this room. And so you see the servant heart of the Shunammite woman. And this accounting for us that's come to us through all of these years. Also notice that as Elijah came, and as he came thither, it says in verse 11, he turned in and he lay there. He put the bed to use. It's an interesting little account because I wonder what Gehazi did, the servant. He probably sat outside. I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting. You look at that and you wonder, how did that all work? But at any rate, he went into the room and he lay down. And then he called Gehazi, it says here in verse 11. I'm sorry, he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And then Elisha says to her, you know, what could I do for you? What could I do? Would you like me to speak to the king? Would you like me to talk to the captain of the host? And you know what? He really could have. Here was a man, Elisha, who indeed could have spoken to the king and have made her life better. That's the way it worked. It still works that way in many cultures, and you know what? It still is that way here. Maybe just a little bit through more layers of political scenarios, but yeah. He could have, in fact, talked to the king. Very normal. You have an inside track to the king, guess what? Your husband could end up sitting on the council, you know, of foreign affairs or something, and you would be just catapulted to the top. That's the way it worked. And so he says to her, you know, would you like me to speak to the king for you or, you know, captain of the host? She said, no. Her answer to him was, I dwell among mine own people. Such a simple little statement. And from that, I just take that she was a content woman. She was a satisfied woman. She didn't have aspirations that went outside, beyond her life, her world, the one that God had given her. And so she was a content woman. She said, I dwell among mine own people. I'm satisfied. It doesn't say anything more other than he didn't go to the king or to the captain of the host because she gave him an answer that satisfied the question. And the answer was, no, I'm not looking for that at all. And so it seems like she left his presence, because if you'll notice, another thing I want you to notice is this. So he talked to Gehazi in verse 12, and he told Gehazi, call this Shunammite. And when he, Gehazi, had called her, she stood before him. And he, Elisha, said unto Gehazi, say now unto her, behold, thou hast... You see that? So interesting to see that. That Elisha spoke to Gehazi and said, now Gehazi, say unto her. He was using... They had called her into the presence, but he was using Gehazi as his mouthpiece here. It's just interesting to notice that. I don't know why that is. And ask what could be done and so forth. Then it seems like she left the scene, and he, Elisha, in verse 14 said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi, his servant, answered, verily she hath no child. And he gave Elisha an idea. She doesn't have a child. Perhaps they can't have children. This is a problem. This might be some place for you to work a miracle. That's what Gehazi was saying here. And so, Gehazi, and so, in verse 15, Elisha said, call her. And when he, Gehazi, had called her, she stood in the door. And so, I just want to stop there for a moment. You see the Shunammite woman coming to the door of the chamber now, that's up on the wall on the house. And I just wanted to stop there for a moment to just recognize the constraint, the reserve, the cultural aspects to this. I can just about see that coming to the door, and probably in a very respectful kind of stance. And he said, call her. And so she came. And he said, Elisha said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord. Suddenly, the conversation's happening between the two of them here now. And she answers him, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. It's interesting how she responded so strongly, and I can only believe that the reason for that response was that he had laid his finger on the most sensitive part of her heart. And it wasn't that she didn't want a child, it was that she didn't want her hopes to be moved. She was protective of that, of the injury that could come, a hope that's not realized. And so she makes that statement. I don't believe it was in some kind of a disrespectful statement at all. But she challenged him. And you're going to notice that she comes back to it. She comes back to this statement that she made. Don't lie to me. Well, the woman conceived and bare a son, just as Elisha had told her. And you know the story. The little child went out to help his dad. I don't know how old he was, but he was probably... 5, 6, 7, don't know for sure. But he went out as any boy would, because, hey, harvest is happening. There's a lot going on out in the field. That's where I want to be. And so he went out, and there's some medical problem. He falls ill. Dad says, hey, servant so-and-so, take him into his mother. Very normal kind of thing. And so he was probably carried into her. And you see the scene, how that he sat, brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And you see, I don't know what remedies that she had. I don't doubt that she applied what remedies she had, but there wasn't a helicopter to call in. There was no medevac. There wasn't really even a doctor to call. There was probably just the herbs and potions that they had, ways in which they tried to help their medical problems, and their faith in God. And so there he was. I don't doubt that she prayed. I don't doubt that she was very troubled. I don't doubt that she was hurt by the struggle for life that probably took place on her knees. And the child died. He was gone. And you see her getting up, and she goes over and up the steps into the room, lays the child down on the bed, comes back out, and closes the door on her dead son. Now, that is the exact opposite of any kind of reaction to the death of this child. There would have been a stir in the community. There would have been, and really, he would have been buried within 24 hours, maybe even by the end of that day. But her actions were so opposite to that. I believe that as she sat there, she, and as she saw her son dying, there was one thing that began to take up her mind, and that was, I'm going to go see the prophet. I'm going to go see the prophet. And so as she laid the son down, I notice here, there's probably different things we could take from this, but the one is that she was strong. She was a strong woman. And she, as she saw this and as she went through this experience, her steps, her strength in laying her son down, separating herself from him, saying to the servant, go out and tell her husband, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, and I may run to the man of God and come again. And her husband said, why? I mean, it's not a holy day. There isn't some kind of feast going on. What's going on? And she said, it is well. That was her answer. It shall be well, was her answer. It shall be well. You see, the strength of a woman, and I believe the strength of her faith in that statement, it shall be well. It shall be well. And that seemed to answer the question. And they saddled up, and she said, now, let's ride. And don't slow down for me unless I tell you to. And so away they went, and they headed across the dusty roads to Mount Carmel. So interesting to see the account here as they arrived. And Elisha, he looked and he saw and he said, you know, Gehazi, that looks like the Shunammite woman. What he saw, why that stood out, but it seems like they were a little distance away. And he says to Gehazi, now run and meet her and ask her these three questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And so he went, met her, stopped, and you would see him, the front man here to Elisha, stopped her and said, is it well, you know? And she said, her answer to him was, it is well. Now, deception? What do you think? I don't know. Faith? I'm going to ascribe it to faith. She said, it is well. But I'll be honest with you. What she really wanted to do is get past Gehazi. And she did. She was bold in her entreaty. That's another thing that I see from the Shunammite woman. She was bold in her entreaty. And she got past Gehazi. And it seems like he turned around and sort of pursued almost after her because, don't know, maybe they walked together. I don't know that. But she gets to Elisha, seems to be, before he got to Elisha. And she fell at his feet. And what does it say? She caught him by the feet, it says. And so you see her coming and falling down before him and grabbing him by his feet. And Gehazi is reacting to that. He's coming up to push her aside because he just got sort of taken out of the picture. And Elisha, here's something else that's interesting. And we're thinking again, let's not forget about the big picture of what all is happening, but also God's work here with his saints. And we see something very interesting here. Elisha says, wait a minute, don't do it. There's obviously a problem here, and I don't know it. God had not revealed it to him. Elisha didn't know what was going on. And so he was waiting to see. And so she tells him, actually, it doesn't seem like she said anything yet. Oh, she asked the question, I'm sorry, in verse 28. Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I? did I not say, do not deceive me? Do you see her going back to that? She went back, and I think that's what was on her mind. As she held that child, she said, I remember I said to him, don't you deceive me. And I believe there was a lot of faith being put in this man of God, the promise that was given to her, the fulfillment of the promise, and now this? It didn't. And so she went and she said those two things. Did I desire a son of the Lord? Was this my idea? Did I come trying to persuade you of this? No. You're the one who asked me. And I was even reserved about it. I caution you. Don't deceive me. And he took from that, obviously, Elisha did, that there was a problem with the son. And so he sent Gehazi. But I also want to go back yet to her boldness and her entreaty. She said, look, I'm not going to leave without you. I'm not going to go. And so you'll notice in verse 30, she says that. And so Gehazi went on before them with Elisha's staff. And it says that in verse 30, it says this, and Elisha arose and followed her. And you see her having pursued after, pursued God. Elisha was a representation of God. She had pursued this, and she said, I'm not going to leave you. And so you see them going back together to her child. And it did not work. What Gehazi was sent to do made no difference. At least it seems like it didn't. And it's interesting to see also, thinking here again about Elisha, how that he needed to wrestle for the life of this child. Very interesting. Why? Elisha was there in that little room and he said to the lady, about the time of life, you're going to have a son. He spoke the words, God fulfilled it. He arrives to this little room and he gets down and he doesn't know about it, first of all. He gets down and he prays and he pleads with God. And then he lays on the child for quite a period of time, more than likely. And then he gets up and it says here, if you notice it, this caught my eye in verse 35, and he walked to and fro. You see a man who is, I think he's burdened. He is wrestling with this problem. And why does God seem distant in this? Or why is, you know, and it was just interesting for me to see that, how even this great man of God, the prophet of God, the one who through who God was working out these amazing miracles, had to wrestle with God for this need, for this answer. We can take a lesson from it. This is real in our own lives. And so he needed to wrestle for this life. Finally, the child sneezed 7 times. And it was everything but a moment where Elisha spoke the word and it happened. It seemed slow, it seemed. But the child absolutely came back to life and was a normal, healthy child. I believe that. And so, verse 36, Elisha called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. Elisha spoke to her. She went in, fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. The story moves on. I want to notice here about the Shunammite woman here at the close of this in verse 37. She was grateful and not presumptuous. When God gave her back her son, she didn't go back to her challenge at the beginning of the promise. She didn't go back to her challenge to Elisha there on Mount Carmel. She was just thankful. She was thankful for the gift of God to her again. And you see that here in this account. And she went her way, and so did Elisha. And the story continues on. The Shunammite woman, I believe, now understood that this child was a double gift from God. And while she had used some strong words to get action, to get attention from the prophet there on the mount, and perhaps even to bring some guilt upon him. She was grateful and humbled before the prophet and the God that he served. You see that in this account. And that blessed me as I thought about, as she went forward from that day, and the child grew up. But the story doesn't end there. How many of you know where the story ends? Turn with me back to chapter 8. Then spake Elisha, verse 1, unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall be come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And so obviously there was some ongoing relationship that was happening here, and it's very possible that the husband, who was old, may have passed. She may be a widow at this time. We don't know that, but the husband isn't brought into the picture at all. Elisha's counsel to her was, there's going to be a famine here for 7 years. He knew about that. And he said, pack up your bags, your family, and move. And move out. And so she did that. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Now, obviously, her land must have been probably other people moved in. It may have even been taken by the government. It may have been taken up and was being maybe even farmed or used while she was gone for whatever it could produce. And so she came back to a problem. And so she went to the king in verse 3. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, of all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he, Gehazi, was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him all about it. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Now that's the end of the story of the Shunammite. We don't have any other account of this story. But it's a beautiful picture of the providence of God and his care for this woman. She didn't appeal to the king. She said, I'm happy among mine own people. You don't need to talk to the king for me. But here on this day, she needed to go to the king for some help. And when she went to the king, God was already there before her and had arranged the circumstances such that she walked in just at the right time. And Gehazi said, that's her. That's the woman, and that's her son. And she was called before the king and told him what God had done for her, for Elisha, through Elisha. And you see this restoration that was brought to her. It's a story of the Bible. It's a story, and as I was studying this, my mind went to that song written by Isaac Watts so many years ago, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. That's why we have hope, because of this account. Just one story, but it gives us insight into the interaction between God and man, and he'll continue to do so today. May God help us to have faith and courage to face whatever it is we're facing today. Let's kneel for prayer.